Welcome to Career Tools. Our guidance on being discreet and getting a new job using social media. Part one. Folks, this guidance answers the questions, how can I use social media to find a job without my manager finding out? Who can I safely connect with on social media? And what can I say on social media when I'm looking for a job? Finally, after years of waiting, The Effective Manager in book form is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and your other retail booksellers, as well as signed copies are available on our website, manager-tools.com. If you want to know the basics of how to manage others effectively in book format, including Kindle and ebook format as well, we encourage you to buy, read, and then implement the guidance in The Effective Manager. So, Wendy, every other piece of career advice and guidance in the last 5 years seems to have been about social media and job searching, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot on the internet about social media or about job search because it's a thing we do rarely, and it's important for us. We have fear around it, and people feel like, I can do my job, I'm just not very good at interviewing or searching, or I don't want to be told no or whatever. And social media has become so much the primary way that people communicate, you've got to include it, but it's public. And there's dangers about whether or not you'll be found out, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's our guidance?
We have 3 points. So temper your communication, and temper means make less, I guess. It's kind of damp it down.
Yeah.
Use industry connections and use social media consistently.
Consistently. Okay. So temper your communication, meaning being careful, dampen it, soften it, so on. Go ahead.
So social media posts, I don't often think about this when I'm posting, probably, so I assume other people don't too, but they are forever and they can be seen by anyone.
Yeah, we see this all the time in news stories where some famous person tweeted something offensive, objectionable, difficult, whatever. And they say the tweet has been removed, but you can find it here.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's not really gone. And sometimes they seem to have deleted it in minutes, and yet somebody has seen it. I don't know how they manage that, but somebody has seen it. And once the caption is there, once the screen cap is there, it's there forever, basically.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter how much they apologize. That just doesn't seem to help. And so we're not suggesting that everybody is going to cause an international media storm, although some individuals, like normal working people, have managed to do that. But we're telling you that hiring managers and your current manager can and will draw conclusions about the things that you post.
Yeah. Look, anytime you express, you ought to be smart enough to recognize that even in communicate, you could say in a conversation, well, they can't prove that I said that, whereas social media gives, you know, allows it to be proven that you said what you said or communicated what you communicated. Even in face-to-face communications, we ought to be reminded of there's a difference between thinking a thing and saying a thing, different between saying a thing and doing a thing. And if I know that you've said something that I find objectionable, it may be that the whole world doesn't know. You may not be ruined, but you may be ruined with me. And so therefore, a little bit of professionalism, a little bit of dignity, a little bit of care.
Restraint.
You know, what's that saying in carpentry? Measure twice, cut once. Meaning, mm-hmm. Be careful. Measure it in advance before you cut. Because once you cut, you can't go back. And same thing in speech and communications. Think twice before you speak. And that probably applies. Think three times before you speak in a medium that will be saved forever and ever and ever.
Some things that you might post that you think are pretty innocuous, but it's a bit like your resume in the sense that hiring managers and recruiters read things in the most negative way possible because they've been burned by candidates before. And so even if you post something that you think has no particular emotional value, someone else reading it may ascribe it. So for instance, a brand that you love posts a message about opening a new office near where you live and you follow them. So you post something, so glad you're coming to Springfield. I'd love to work for you. seems really innocuous, right? You know, like long term, big picture, you know, I'd love to work for Google, whatever. But for your manager, that might cause him some anxiety.
Yeah. And here's the thing. You may not mean it that way, but speaking as a manager, if anybody who had ever worked for me had posted something like that, the problem is your manager doesn't think about retention every day. We probably should, but we don't. Most managers' day-to-day lives are focused on the work they need to get done, the obligations they have to the organization, and their responsibilities in helping their directs get done what they need to get done so that the manager's job can get done. Having to think about retention, even though as a direct, you're like, well, hopefully he or she wants to retain me, right? Mm-hmm. Having to think about retention, managers don't naturally do it. We don't sit around thinking, how can I retain this person? So therefore, in their mind, the way we think about it as managers is nobody's at risk. So then when we see, I'd love to come to work for you, the fact that it was meant innocuously, it's too late. The manager reads that as, oh, geez, I got a retention risk. Just the idea. Now, the manager knows he or she's not perfect, but they assume if there's a good relationship that you will talk to them. You'll say, hey, by the way, things aren't as good as I want them to be or whatever. When you say you'd love to come to work for somebody else, you're basically saying, I'm a free agent. You may not mean to say, I'm not loyal. You know, I'll go anywhere for the right situation, which, by the way, is almost always true. Almost anyone will go almost anywhere for the right situation. Mm-hmm. Somebody doubles your salary and cuts your hours and gives you the job of your dreams. Yeah, most people would go. And not in spite of loyalty, but because loyalty is one of many factors that go into that decision. And the issue is, it comes back over and over again, communication is what the listener does. In social media, you intend to communicate to one person or one group, but you are in fact communicating to everyone. By definition, when you do that, you decrease the number of things you can say because it's not a private conversation that aren't potentially offensive. Offensive is too strong a word. That aren't potentially problematic for other people. Now, you may say, well, they ought to get over it. Yeah, okay, fine. Maybe they ought to. Maybe your boss ought not to react, but the average boss will react, and you ought to be, we're recommending you be smart enough not to post that.
Some people might think, well, it's okay, because my manager's now anxious about whether or not I'm going to leave, so he's going to treat me better, right? He'll give me a pay rise, that promotion, that prestigious project.
No. If that's what you want from your manager... Now, folks, for those of you who are licensees, you know we have show notes for every show that keeps us on track and so on. But I'm at this point, I'm not even reading the show notes. I'm playing the manager. Wendy's playing the direct. And we're doing what amounts to a virtual role play here, which may very well be in our show note guidance. But this is an important point. No, I promise you, that's not what your manager will think. Oh, I need to keep this person. The first thing the manager will think is, oh, this person's not loyal. Now, guys, we know that's not the most efficient way for the manager to be. But that's what our experience is, right, Wendy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Okay.
If what you want is a pay rise or a pay raise in the U.S., or if what you want is more opportunity or better projects, then go to your boss and talk about it, okay? Don't use social media to do it. And don't tell me, well, I'm using social media. I actually wouldn't probably go to work there, but it's a way that I know my boss follows me on Twitter. So he will see it and he will hear it and there'll be that effect. And then I would say, okay, that's very clever of you. How about if your boss tweeted, struggling with a team this week, need more from them? What would your first response be? How dare he? How come he didn't come to me? And of course, the boss was responding to someone else asking about his goals, a coach he pays $5 a month to coach him on Twitter, and he gets so many tweets a week or a month to hear from this guy. And so he was communicating to one person. He didn't intend for anybody else to hear it, really, even though he knows other people might read his Twitter feed. Yeah. And so don't assume that a second party reading a tweet that it was intended primarily for a first party would therefore be assumed in the positive. It may in fact be true, but it's not any way to build a strategy. It's just not.
No, I think I'm growing to think that the more convoluted the communication path is that you're creating, the worse it is. If you're going to post on Twitter and hope that your manager is going to read it and hope that he's going to draw the right inference, there's a lot of hopes in there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And hope is not a method, right?
Yeah, exactly. So let's try another one. A brand that you love comes out with a new product, which has been widely panned, and you send them several tweets telling them how bad this product is, and you have a conversation with your friends on Facebook saying, I can't believe they changed it. Why do they do this to us?
I love them. I don't love them anymore. Yeah. Gosh, I used to love these guys. And by the way, oftentimes the people most likely to use social media, the data show, tend to be younger. It's moving up now. And generally, younger people, folks, don't get offended because I was young too. And this applied to me when I was young. So consider me describing my problems right now. Younger people have a greater tendency to be less careful when they communicate and more emotional when they communicate. And social media, I think, has enhance that, increase that. And so the kinds of conversation you're having on Facebook ought not to be the kind of conversation you would be having face to face. And the tweets that you put out will tend to be, in order to get people's attention, they tend to be strong. People don't tweet disappointed with recent product from brand X, still love them. Okay.
No.
What you say is shocked and embarrassed at this new product. Now, both of those things can be true. The question is, which one would you communicate? And if, in fact, you're trying to tweet to get attention, to get retweets, to get likes, and so on, you're probably going to engage in behavior that is not dampened, that is not tempered. And sometimes people say, well, you know, sometimes I read these executives' tweets, and they seem so blah. They're blah because they're compared to other tweets which are trying to be incendiary is too strong a word, but trying to be evocative. On the other hand, if you're the face of a brand and you are the face of your own brand, if your brand is a public brand, and I would argue yours is, but if you're the face of Apple Macintosh, you're going to be careful about that kind of stuff. Yes, if you're a billionaire, you can get away with being thought of as a genius business person and having your own opinions, which allows you to be interesting to people.
That's the Steve Jobs rule, right?
But you're not a billionaire.
Yeah. Just because Steve Jobs did it doesn't mean you can do it because you're not Steve Jobs.
Yeah. And look, I think I just read something somewhere that I'm trying to think of what it was about. We're talking about job searching, and someone wrote and said it wasn't related to job searching and social media, but a recruiter said all candidate reviews start with a social media review. Just because it reduces the number of people I have to talk to. And by the way, it doesn't increase. Social media, when it comes to job searching from a recruiter's point of view, don't increase your chances. It only decreases your chances.
Yeah. So if we were going to be negative about this new product that the brand bought out, and what would your conclusions be as a manager seeing that one of your staff was completely negative about something that had changed?
I would just consider them to be intemperate, which of course is the opposite of tempered, right? Which is what the whole point of this first part of the guidance is. And I would think that they would be, they're immature, that they're behaving in the public square in a way that is not respectful of the norms of behavior in the public square. They might say, well, they're in general now, the public square includes all this stuff and all these people on Twitter, that's the way they talk. I said, just because other people do it doesn't mean it's smart. I have a good friend, David Hoik. He lives here not far from me in Pebble Beach. And he told a story once that I thought was so perfect that I could never have told because it never happened to me. He was talking to our sons, to Travis and to Drake and to Christopher and Jaggers, about being in college. And I think it was specifically to Drake and Christopher, who were going off to college a couple of years ago. And I couldn't tell this story because at the academy, this would never have happened. But David said, hey, look, you got to make time to study. That's what you're there for. You should have fun, but get your studying done first. And if you get your studying done, go out and have a good time. No problem. And Chris nodded, yeah, of course. I mean, it's almost a platitude to hear that from parents or friends of parents. And then he said, and this is the genius, he says, look, there's always going to be a guy coming saying, let's party at 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. And two things. First, here's what you do. Say, hey, look, I'll join you at 10. Okay? Mm-hmm. Because I got to get my studying done. And if you get your studying done, fine. The fact is, the second thing that's important is he'll forget that you told him that because he's looking for somebody to go with him now. And that guy has a 0.0 GPA. He's done in 6 months, and you're making a choice about whether or not you want to be him or whether or not you want to be an adult. And the lesson here is relating to social media is, yes, there are people talking that way. And yes, they have followers. And yes, in a small percentage of the followers, that can lead to opportunities. But generally speaking, people who create a brand that is loud or incendiary or negative does not lead to success. It leads to polarization. Okay. On the other hand, there are all kinds of people who build brands that are positive, that then that leads to opportunities. But if your interest, if your goal is likes, is popularity, is number of people following you, you can go about that one of two ways. And the negative way is not. It's not effective. It's going to come back to bite you. If that happened and I saw that tweet, I would say, here's a person who got confused between who they are and what they want. Because what they want is more authority, more responsibility. They want to grow their career and so on. But they're basically saying, I'm prepared to give my career over to my social media presence. And my social media presence is often negative. I would say, wow, person's not ready maybe for the next step. Now I've got issues, the brand. You know, if I've got a promotion to an executive role, that's going to come up. We're going to have an internal debate about people. What do we think about his or her tweets where she was hammering one of our customers? If you've done that, you better be notably better than everybody else to balance out the public mistakes you've made. Now, you might say, well, Mark, they aren't mistakes. I'm entitled to do this. Folks, we don't hire people because what is legal. Well, certainly we're not going to hire anybody illegally. The standard is not whether or not you didn't break the law. The standard is not whether or not what you did was appropriate in the venue you were in. The standard is how we think it will look to other people if you're on our team. And the fact is, there is a greater responsibility to be careful, to be professional, to be respectful. And every time you do something negative in public, you are essentially taking away one or two of your accomplishments from your career because that negative balances against, and you may never get an opportunity. You're reducing the number of opportunities you have. And internally, that means if I have a choice and it's close and you've got the negative Twitter feed, you've got the posts on Facebook that are objectionable, I'm not going to pass you on. And you may say, that's too bad because I'm actually better than the other guy. Yeah, I know. And I'm not going to feel terrible about it because if you continue to do that and you're an executive and I'm tied to you as the person who recommended you, somebody's going to raise an eyebrow to me and say, Mark, why did you recommend it? Look what he's doing here. Not good.
Yeah, you just hurt yourself. Okay, so we got one more example just to help people understand the consequences examples. And things that you think that are perfectly reasonable to do. So let's say a company posts a new vacancy on Twitter and it says, follow us if you're interested in applying, or follow us if you're interested in hearing more. And you like the post and you follow them because, you know, not necessarily because you have an intention of applying for the job, but because you want to find it again for a friend of yours, or because you want to encourage companies in to post vacancies, or companies in your town because, you know, outside of work, you're involved in the city management or whatever. You know, there's 1,000 reasons for doing that, and only one of them is to apply for that job. But as a manager, you see it differently, right?
Yeah. Here's what I would say. In this situation, if you're truly not interested, then after you post, and I, by the way, I love the idea of, let's say you're in a mid-sized community and a company's thinking about coming to your town and there'll be more jobs and you're involved in community activities and more employers of the size this company is better for quality of life and the tax base and productivity and community development and so on. And so you want to encourage them. And so in that case, I think it's okay to do that. But then let your boss know. Say, hey, by the way, not interested in the job. Just thought it'd be good to encourage someone. I'm not going to apply. Believe me, if I'm ever going to apply for a job, something like that, I would have let you know. You and I would have been talking about something like that. I could see where that would be okay. Again, this goes back to the secondary and tertiary communication results of your primary intent, which was to talk to them, because it is social media. Communication between two people is not social media. It's private media. It's not social. It doesn't involve a third person, okay? But this does. It involves a third, a fourth, a fifth, and a 500 millionth person. So it would be okay if you had the best of intentions. But if you have the best of intentions and there's a bit of a risk, let your boss know and say, hey, don't have any worries. I'm going to post. I'm going to like this thing. It's fine. Okay. And there are other situations where you could do that. But if you don't do that, don't be surprised. Your boss says, geez, I saw you liked it. I'm kind of surprised. And you say, oh, no, I didn't mean anything by it. Well, if you really hadn't meant anything by it, you would have let me know.
Or they don't say anything at all to you, and all of a sudden, you know, you find yourself not being on projects or not being, you know, not getting the things that put you on the promotion track or whatever it is that your company uses to signal that you're staying and they're happy with you and all of that stuff. All of that stops. And you potentially don't know why, because it was a tweet that you didn't think anything of and nobody told you that they'd read it and implied something entirely different.
Yep. So, Wendy, at this point, we've been talking for a good while because those examples were so good. Let's finish this up next week. We'll talk about the rest of the agenda. So, folks, come back next week for part two. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. That's it. Social media and being discreet. Come back next week for more good guidance from Career Tools.
If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store, or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want. With easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions, it couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.